Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, even for your life in us, your spirit in us that makes a difference in our lives. Lord, even as we're here gathered, we're gathered unto you. And Lord, even as your word is preached this morning, it's all about you, Lord. It's all about turning people back to you. It's all about letting us keep our eyes and our focus on you, oh God. I just pray you'd help us this morning, even as we receive your word, even as I share the word, that even my life as well will be changed by this word. And the lives of the people who listen as well will be changed. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'll get Sister Michelle to please just read from the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And we will read from verse 1. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. And we'll probably just read all the way to probably verse 15. Sorry, 17. Daniel 6, verse 1 to 17.
Okay, so Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then this man said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Verse 6, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisers, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore King Darius signed the written decree. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, and was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "This thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Verse 14, and the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then this man approached the king and said to the king, "Now, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed.
Thank you very much. And, you know, if you read on in that story, it goes on to say that Daniel was put in, of course, he was put in the den, and the king went back to his palace and he couldn't sleep the whole night. The Bible actually says that he was fasting, that he didn't have any merriment that night because he was so troubled in his heart about what was going to happen to Daniel. And, of course, the next morning, the lions sat in there looking at Daniel and saying, probably this guy's not tasty enough, and they didn't eat him. Now, going back to the beginning of the story, we see that Daniel was one of three, if I may say, governors or leaders under King Darius at that time. And because the favor of God was on Daniel so much, he was highly respected by the king himself, and the king was going to make him leader even over the other two governors. So basically, probably there was going to be the king, and then the next person in command was going to be Daniel, and then, of course, the other two governors who are over their own set of governors as well. And these people didn't like this. The other governors and satraps didn't like him. So they set a trap for Daniel. And, you know, the title of this message is As Was His Custom. As Was His Custom. If you look in verse where it says that he went to his house, and he knelt before the Lord his God, facing Jerusalem, towards Jerusalem. And that's in verse 10. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, these people, they knew what his custom was. They knew that Daniel always prayed. So they set a trap for him that if he's really a Christian or a child of God, that he will not want to break that and break the king's law as well. But it was basically a trap. They came together, they banded together, they agreed, made the king. I don't know what the king was thinking when he actually agreed to sign that decree. Because I'm sure he knew to some extent that Daniel prayed. Because he talked about that Daniel's God will save him and that Daniel will be delivered. And he was hoping and praying that that was going to happen. So he must have known the kind of lifestyle that Daniel had before his God. The Bible says, as was Daniel's custom, he knelt down and he prayed three times a day. And you know, this portion of scripture has always got me thinking about customs, as was his early days. And I ask us in this room, what are our customs? And you're probably asking, what's the meaning of the word custom? Well, I checked the dictionary just for you. A custom means a usage or practice common to many, or to a particular place, or to a particular class of people, or to an individual. Or to simply describe it, a custom is a habit. Something that is repeated. Something that you practice or you repeat over and over again. Now, Daniel had a very, very good practice in his life. He had a very, very good habit. He knelt down to pray three times a day. I am challenged by that. Amen? And I know some of you, because you're so spiritual, you probably do more than that. You pray five times a day or whatever it is. But I'm very challenged by that. And it's interesting that the people who were against him knew that. They knew this guy was going to kneel down and pray to God three times a day. And so they set up a decree. I mean, can you imagine that? They're called satraps and they set up a trap. That was their job, to set traps. I don't know. Yeah, very funny name. So they set a trap to basically box him in. And Daniel did not change. As far as he was concerned, it was something he'd always done. And that was the reason for his success as well. If you look at it, I mean, intently, if you look at what he was doing, it was the reason why the Bible says they found no fault in him. There was nothing they could pin against him. There was nothing. He was probably a man full of integrity. He was upright. He didn't take bribes. He didn't do any shady deals. He was working when he was supposed to be working. If the hours for work were 9 to 5, he wasn't there from 9:30 to 4:30. You know, he was doing everything as King Darius. And probably King Darius also saw that everything that he gave him to do was getting better, was increasing. There was prosperity on every side for him. And of course, the king was thinking, oh my goodness, this guy is so good. I probably should make him my second in command, like the deputy king, if there's any such thing. And that's when trouble broke loose. That's when things got out of hand. Because those guys said, well, if this guy is now in charge, I don't know, is he going to try and force his religion on us? We don't know what was in their minds, but basically they tried to set a trap to box him into, to get him to trip up and go against a decree, a silly decree. Why would they make that kind of a decree, knowing full well that it was his custom? Now, like I said, a custom is something that you do, that it's a habit, something you do day in, day out. And I know some of us in this room, we have habits, good or bad. You're all being very silent. Thank you for laughing. We have habits, good or bad. And the main essence of what I'm trying to share is that we should start developing good habits. Like how we see here in Daniel, in the account from Daniel, that he prayed 3 times a day. And we see that, as far as I'm concerned, was the reason for his success as one of the governors, as one of the administrators over that kingdom at that point. At the same time, we have habits that could be very, very bad habits that could get us into serious trouble sometimes. I mean, Daniel's good habit got him into trouble. At the same time, we can have bad habits that will get us into trouble as well. And you know, looking at my life, I honestly, I've been married to my wife now 21 years. And it's only this year that it just dawned on me that my wife doesn't really like surprises. She wants to know what is going to happen in 3 weeks' time and to be warned about it so she can plan about it. You know, my wife is the kind of person, sorry, but I'm just going to say this. If somebody gives her an invitation to a party, okay, Nigerians do this. It's a very Nigerian tradition. They'll give you an invitation to like a 50th birthday party, and they will tell you that the color theme of the party is gold and yellow, whatever, that most of the ladies, their headgear and all that should be gold and yellow. My wife, 3 weeks before the party, she starts arranging what she's going to wear and starts thinking, oh, what blouse can I wear with this thing? And she starts arranging all that. I would only do that 1 hour before the party and say, oh, by the way, what am I supposed to wear? You know, I am, if I may say, I am very spontaneous, and there's good and bad of it. My wife wants to know what is happening way in advance. You know, if we're going on holidays at the end of the year in December, we should have booked the tickets. We should know when we're going. You know, tell us where we're going and let me know when we're going, blah, blah, blah. And one thing that I enjoy doing is planning surprises for her, like a birthday surprise or planning a holiday surprise. I'll say, don't worry, I'm taking care of it. And I try to surprise them. Now, a lot of us, we have habits, good or bad. There's some of us that every morning you wake up, instead of going to the bathroom, you walk to the kitchen, you turn on the kettle, and you're boiling your kettle for your cup of coffee, or if you have one of these fancy coffee machines, you do that. And a lot of people have habits like that. Yes or no? Yeah. I don't do that. I actually run out of the house, and then think, oh, I should have had a coffee. Then I drive into one of these drive-through coffee places, and I buy a coffee. I don't drink coffee every day. I'm the kind of person that if I drink coffee at 11 p.m., I can still sleep at 11:05 because coffee doesn't do anything to me. It doesn't wake me up. It's just another hot beverage. People have lots of habits. You know, thinking about this Daniel story, I was reminded of, I remember when we moved here, I think we moved here in 2006, but I remember there was the major, some gangland member was assassinated or was killed in Melbourne. Desmond Moran was his name. And he was killed by his sister-in-law, something like that. Or was it? Yeah, his sister-in-law, his late brother's wife. And he was shot in front of a cafe that he went to every day. It was his habit. Every morning he would go there. So the people who were assigned to go and kill him, they knew at this time of the day, he would come into this cafe, he would sit at this particular table, and he's going to order this particular drink. So if you're going to kill him, you go there at the same time and do that. You know, funny enough, when I look at this church this morning, some of you are sitting in the same city of Sat every week. You know, I can tell somebody, assuming I went on a holiday, went to somewhere in Nigeria, and I wanted to pass something to a brother, I'd say, you're walking through the main doors, turn to your right, okay? I'm not even going to look. And then just walk along the right side and count three rows from the front on your right and give something to the brother who's going to be sitting at the end of that row. Brother Steve. Sorry. Next to Brett. And some of you still have the same seat every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a habit. And it's just to get my point across about habits, that we are creatures of habits. We just like to do the same thing. Some people don't like their worlds to be rocked. I always tell my wife and my family, they always sit on that back row. And sometimes new people come and just sit down there. I'm like, yeah, it's a free church, man. You didn't pay for the seats. Anybody can come in anytime and sit there. And, you know, I look at everybody. Oh, sorry. Let me even share this. Last week, Sunday, when Pastor Irene and Pastor Philip were not here, Brother William was supposed to be doing the announcements for this Sunday service. And I was at the back there next to the sound mixer. And I saw Sister Doris at the door. And I know Brother William always sits somewhere in front here. See, Brother Steve knows where he sits. He's by habit. So then I was looking for him, and I was looking in that direction. And I walked up. You won't believe this. I walked up to Sister Doris, and I'm like, where is Brother William? He's not here. He's supposed to be taking the announcements. What's going to happen? And she just goes, he's on stage singing. What's your problem? And I thought, oh, what? Because I was so programmed to look at where he normally sits. I didn't even think to look on stage. He was there singing. And I thought, oh my goodness, I am a creature of habits as well. Because I couldn't reprogram my mind to think, just look around the whole church. And likewise, I'm sure a lot of people, when we're looking for somebody who's not in church on Sunday morning, we scan, oh, okay, I know that person always sits in that seat, that person always sits in that seat. And that person is not there today, so where is that person? Only if you had to look around, you probably know this person is in another seat. We're a creature of habits. They're not bad habits, especially when you come to church. It's good to sit where you feel comfortable. You know, I always tell people, and I always joke silently to myself, that maybe we should start charging for those seats. If you want to have that seat every Sunday, just pay a price for it. Nah, ignore me. Moving on. Now, in the interview, when that gang land person was killed, they interviewed the person who owned the cafe. And I downloaded it from the internet, and I just read what she said. The lady's name, Anne, the manager of the Union Deli, said Moran was shot in the doorway of the cafe, which he visited every day. So the person who owned the cafe knew he visited every day. People on the street knew who he visited every day. And people who, they didn't actually know he was a gang member. That was the interesting part of it. That some of them, I mean, he claimed he had retired from being a gang member and all that kind of stuff. And that's the way he found his death, because he was following his habits. Interestingly, his own brother as well used to visit a bar every week on a particular day at a particular time. And that's where he was shot as well. Habits. Now, none of us are going to get shot, praise God. Why am I saying this? We need to start forming good habits as children of God. What are the habits that we can say that if anybody knows anything about us, they would say, yep, this guy does this thing over and over again. I can tell you where to find him, or I can tell you what he's going to say. You know, my wife can tell me. Even my kids can say sometimes, if I sit in front of the TV, sometimes some evenings and I'm watching TV, within an hour I'll sleep, I'll just doze off. Staying power is zero. And I'll just start sleeping in front of them. And then they'll wake me up and tell me, it's time to go to bed. And I say, okay, I'm coming. And they will all walk off to their rooms and go and sleep. And I'm still sleeping there because I love my sleep. My wife can tell me also that one of my habits is snoring when I'm sleeping. That's a bad habit, praise God. And I'm working on it, amen? But all I'm trying to say is we need to start forming good habits. We need to start getting to a place where when people see us and what they say about us is going to be stuff that they know, yep, this guy can be counted on, he can be relied upon, he can be trusted in spiritual things, especially spiritual things. Can I just get Sister Michelle to read Luke chapter 4, please? And can we just all turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 6? Sorry, did I say verse 6, verse 16? Sorry.
Okay, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read.
Amen. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's our Lord Jesus. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was something he did from when he was a young person. And I say this especially to the older people. To the younger folk. And of course to the older ones as well. Start forming good habits now. Start inculcating into your lifestyle good habits that you're going to carry on for the rest of your life. The Lord Jesus, our perfect example. Our perfect example. You know, if you read about the Jewish tradition, at the age of 5, you were allowed to go into the synagogue. At the age of 13, you were under obligation to go to the synagogue as a devout Jew back then. But we even know that there were some times when they went to Jerusalem for the Passover and stuff, that the Lord Jesus, even at the age of 12, was in the synagogue and was reasoning with the scribes and the Pharisees or whoever it is at that time. So from a young age, he had that habit. And you know, as much as I can, I try to build that even into my children as well, that coming to church on Sunday, non-negotiable. Amen? It's not always easy to do that. There's so many things that are demanding for your time, holidays, sometimes work, and they call you for a shift and all that stuff. But as much as you determine in your heart to be here every Sunday, please do so. And honestly, just like staying or going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Somebody shared that joke. Coming into church doesn't necessarily make you a Christian, but you start by coming into the house of God and learning. I mean, every day you keep on learning the same holiness scriptures, worship. We spend time worshiping God. It does something to your life. As a habit, it does. It changes you. It transforms your life. The way you think changes. The way you speak must change. And, you know, when we leave here on Sunday afternoon and we go to work or our businesses on Monday morning, people see the difference in us because of what we've consistently been doing. And you know, we should always remember that. Don't forsake the assembly of the brethren or the church. Don't forsake coming to the house of God. Like we read here about the Lord Jesus, he went into that synagogue every day, and he was handed the book of the prophets. He goes on in verse 17, and of course that was when he then made that powerful, he read that powerful scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." And he went on and on. And in that same scripture, because they had always known him, they also got offended when there was a different anointing on him. The same people who looked at him as, he's not a small carpenter's son that you always used to come here, when he now says that today that scripture is fulfilled in your midst, they got offended by that and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. He had always done that, and to some extent they became over familiar. And that's the danger of habits as well. People get over familiar with you and think, same old. I mean, somebody who maybe a young boy today can grow up under the anointing of God to now become a powerful preacher. But because we look at him and say, he always used to run around and be one of the naughty boys in church. But people can change as they consistently apply themselves to what God wants to do in their lives. Amen? The Lord Jesus, even when he went into the synagogue, he took up the Bible to read. Basically, he was given the book of the law and the prophets, as it was in those days, to read. And I think that's one thing as Christians that we should always, that should be a good habit in our lives. To spend time reading the Word of God. You know, and I'll be upfront and honest with you. I wish I spent as much time as I do when I'm preparing sermons to every day to spend time preparing or just reading the Word of God. Not because I have a sermon and I'm planning, just to consistently be studying about a theme, to be researching about something. I wish I could do that. And you know, my business, praise God, is growing and it's expanding. It's still a one-man show. And because of that, there's a demand on my time. And my wife can testify to this. As early as 6:30 sometimes, I get phone calls. This server is not on, or this computer is not working, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, you won't even let me wake up peacefully. At 6:30, you're calling me. But regardless of that, I must still plan my time. I must still make time for God. You know, it just dawned on me, it dawned on me this week that maybe I should spend more time praying for my business so that I won't get clients call me and say, oh, my computer is not working. And I'm like, okay, have you checked that the power is on? Yeah. Have you made sure all the cables are good? Yeah, I've checked it. And can you please come now? It's not working. We can't consult with patients, blah, blah. And I drive all the way there, 30 minutes, go there, look at the computer. And then maybe the cable has been pulled up. And I'm thinking, why didn't you check the cable, for crying out loud? I get those kind of calls sometimes. And, you know, I tell myself maybe I should pray that I will stop getting silly calls like that, that are absolutely just... And, of course, maybe I should also be more sensitive and ask silly questions. Because when you ask them, someone gets very defensive. What do you mean? I've not checked the cable. Bottom line is, I should pray for my business. I should spend more time praying for my business so that I have more time to spend to do the things of God. And likewise, you as believers as well, spending more time, like the Lord Jesus was doing in the Word of God, spending more time in prayer, spending more time looking to God, spending more time in even just private worship, where you just say, Lord, it's all about you. I'm not here to bring all my petitions to you, all my requests. I'm just here to just say, Lord, I worship you. It's you that I live for. You're my all in all. You're my King. You're my God. You know, just spend time to praise him, to worship him for who he is and for who he would always be. Forming habits. It's actually very important. Like Daniel basically changed his own world, changed the sphere of influence around him because he had a good habit. And can you imagine how effective we would all be if we did that? Can you imagine how effective, if you are a teacher, you spend so much time, you're so sensitive to the Spirit of God, your kids are misbehaving in class and you just say, I come against that foul spirit in Jesus' name. And you start speaking life into the life of the child, and you know, 10 years down the road, they tell you that child is training to be a pastor. Or you know, you're a nurse, you're looking at patients, and you know, they're really looking sick. And you go into a little closet there, and you pray for that patient, and 2 days later, the patient is discharged. In every area where we are, our sphere of influence, like how Daniel did here, like how we saw how, I mean, the Bible says that the king was going to make him in charge of the other leaders. That's how effective his work was. And it was a secular job. There was nothing spiritual about what he was doing, but he was doing it in a very spiritual way because of the habits that he had formed. Amen? So I'm saying this to you, especially the young folk, that they should learn to start forming good habits now. Start learning to spend time in prayer. And I know it's difficult. I know it's hard, but honestly, I remember my wife and I, before we got married, we used to have Wednesdays, interestingly enough, where we used to fast and pray together as a couple. Then we didn't have any life, if you may say. We were in university then, so we had a lot of time in our hands. We used to pray and fast every Wednesday without fail. And you know, my wife constantly reminds me, we don't do that anymore. And I'm like, yeah, we should start doing that. And it's interesting that even here in Zion now, we're going to have this prayer and fasting every first Wednesday of the month. And I encourage everybody to please try and be a part of it. Please try your best to be a part of it. Even if you're not here physically, pray and fast at home. Because I've seen how fasting can change things. And you're probably looking at me and thinking, do you fast? Are you sure? I'm working on it, praise God. And I tell you, it's something that I've just reintroduced into my life this year. To start waiting on God. So not just rush out and go and do stuff, but you say, Lord, I'm going to deny myself of all these pleasures of my 3 square meals or whatever it is. And just say, Lord, I just want to be sensitive to you. I'm going to spend this time praying in the Spirit. I'm going to spend this time just seeking your face. And you know, even, and I, like my wife can and family can testify, before I come to preach, I always set out time to do so. There's just some habits that I've started forming and started developing to make sure that when I'm doing things like this, I'm not doing it in the flesh, but I'm doing it under the anointing of God. Even when we're leading worship on Sunday morning, on Saturday nights, you want to be careful what you're doing before you come here on Sunday morning. It's just habits of things you start inculcating into your life, things that you start doing to make sure that you're in the right frame of mind, especially when somebody like me that's, very, very busy. Sometimes I just think maybe I should just quit, sell the business, but how would I feed my family? But yeah, that's not the solution. But it's to manage my time effectively, to spend time doing what God would have me do, and to do it effectively. Amen? And I say that to everybody as well, especially the young ones. Start forming habits now. Good habits, please. Texting and Instagram, those are bad habits, if you ask me. Start trying to see what everybody else is doing and not focusing on what you should be doing is the bad habit. You know, spend time developing yourself. Spend time building yourself up. Spend time honing your craft, if I may put it that way. Whatever God has blessed you with, whatever special talents that God has given you, start spending time developing it. You know, there's people say anything that you do consecutively for 21 days becomes a habit. So if you want to break a habit, as long as you can last up to 21 days and more, you can easily break that habit. And I say that so that you can break bad habits and start building good habits as well. So work on doing that. Work on 21 days, and then, of course, you go beyond. And they also tell you that anybody who has done something for more than 10,000 hours becomes an expert in that thing. So you get to expert level if you have done 10,000 hours. Can you imagine? I looked at life. I've been praying every day since the day I was born. I'll be an expert in prayer. 1 hour every day. But I say this to just let us all be challenged that we can do this. Let's form good habits. And if we're going to get into trouble, I'd rather get into trouble for a good habit than for a bad habit. Amen? I'd rather get into trouble for doing what God has told me to do and that I do day in, day out. Like Daniel did. Those guys knew he was going to go into his room, upper room, where everybody could see him. And three times he was going to pray. So he didn't even break the room once. He broke it three times. He was praying to his God. And the rule was, don't pray to any God. And Daniel was like, you're joking. This is something I've always done. And maybe even subconsciously, he may have thought, maybe I shouldn't. But he just went into his room as was his custom, the Bible says, and he started praying. And I say this to us as a church as well. We should start building fantastic habits. And you know, this church has some solid habits already. Whenever we call for like a love feast or the pot bless sessions and we say everybody should bring food. Oh my goodness, everybody brings fantastic food. Keep that habit going. Praise God. Don't slack on that one. We're very friendly people. A lot of people come here and they say, oh my goodness, you guys are so friendly. You know how to say, make people really feel at home. That's a very good habit. But we can start building other habits. We can start really, really diving deep into what God has in store for us and start learning to grow with Him and learning to do what He would have us do as a church. And please, don't change your sitting next Sunday. Well, you can if you want to. And you probably want to say, I'm going to show that Niger guy that we don't always sit in the same seats every Sunday. Praise God. You can do that if you want. But more so, the habits that we, prayer meetings on Wednesdays, Bible study groups on Fridays, coming early to church on Sunday morning, good habits, spending time in prayer, spending time seeking the face of God for your life, for direction, for what He would do in your life. And as a father, as a husband, as a man, I have to constantly be doing that myself to know that, Lord, what are you leading me to do? What should I be doing now? And that is going to come from where you spend time with God. From when you take time out to spend with God. Because things don't just happen willy-nilly. All things work together for good, praise God. But you have to do some things as well to make things line up. And for me, prayer is a big one. Praying for myself, praying for my family, reading the Word of God, spending time in praise and worship. And another little one that I have as my number four is exercise, praise God. Try to put in as much exercise as possible to just maintain a healthy lifestyle. Amen? And I say that to you all, we need to form good habits. We need to get into an attitude where people would say, this guy, if we have trouble in the office and things are going, we know this guy, he prays every time. You know, just even a simple thing, I do this a lot now, even though sometimes I feel, they're going to think I'm a weird person. I have this business meeting that I go for. It's a group of IT guys. We meet once a month. And before the meeting, we all meet for dinner. So we sit down in this venue. They order dinner, bring the dinner, put it in front of us. And you know, everybody takes their dinner. And the minute the dinner comes, they just take the fork and knife and they start cutting. And I just put everything down and I close my eyes. And I say, Father God, I thank you for this meal. Thank you for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. And sometimes you can hear this dead silence around you. Everybody thinking, oh, this guy is weird. Thank you. I am weird. I know. I know times in my life where my dad couldn't afford to pay for food for us back in those days. So when I have a plate set before me, I thank God for that meal. Because you don't want to know. There was times when I was growing up, when my father was in business, he was making a lot of money, he was rich and all that. And all of a sudden, within 2 years, he lost everything, absolutely everything. And he had this little store where he was selling, he was a pharmacist, so he had a chemist, and he was selling medicines and a few milk and groceries and stuff like that. And we had to wait every night after he had closed his store, and he took the money from the store to come and give it to us to go and buy food for the night. That's how we were living from one sale to the next. It was so bad that we couldn't even get onto public transport to go and meet him to say, okay, can you give us some of the money you've made already and then we can go and buy food for the house. No, we had to wait until he finished, could drive back home and then give us money. I tell you, there's times which would always then remind me, when I look back at those times, that even for my food, when I sit down to eat, I must thank God. And it's a habit. And I want that to be a good habit. And you never know who you're going to minister to by doing that. By just saying, Lord, I thank you for this meal. Even if it's under your breath, they don't have to hear what you don't have to scream and shout in the whole restaurant. But once they see you doing that, they know this guy is, he doesn't respect people. He's not going to be shy because he's doing, I mean, people do weird things. People are into yoga. People are into all these funny things anyway. So they can count you as a weird person, but you're a different kind of weird. Amen? Let us form good habits. Let us have our minds focused on God to start doing the things he asked us to do and to do them consistently as well. You know, I used to have time in those days where I was telling Sister Michelle the other day when she was asking me, oh, you play so well, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't think so. I see some other keyboardists who play so well. I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I wish I could play like that. And there was a lot of time in those days when I had lots of time in my hand. I would just sit down at the keyboard and start playing and start worshiping. And that's how I increased my skill level. That's how I got better. So I was sharing that with her, that, oh, just spend time just worshiping God on the keyboard. And he starts improving your skills on the keyboard as well. And you know, as I was telling her, that I told her, I said, yeah, I should even be doing that as well. Because that is how you improve. That's how you get better. You know, my son who plays drums here, he plays drums every day in the house for at least 1 hour sometimes. Very loud. But because of that, he's gotten better at it. He does it day in, day out. He enjoys doing that. And some of us, yeah, we enjoy it too. Because he's trying different things, so he's not always playing the nice beats. He's trying different things, and sometimes he's playing songs very fast. I'm like, where is he going to? Is he trying to run to catch a trade or something? But consistently, he's forming a good habit, which then makes him a better player. And I will say this again. Young ones, this is the time for you to start forming good habits, so that when you grow older, like the Bible says about teaching your kids in the way of the Lord, when they grow up, they will not depart from it. That is also a very good habit. You know, I said this earlier on that going to church is something that we say is non-negotiable in our home as best as we can. Even when I travel, even if I go on a holiday somewhere else, I'll look for the church. I'll be like, hey, where's the nearest church? So I can just go and fellowship on a Sunday morning. I mean, it does two things to me. It lets me see that there's a difference out there. People are worshiping God wherever they are. You know, there was once we went to the U.S., my wife and I, for her brother's birthday. And the birthday party was on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, we were all supposed to go sightseeing and everything. And I thought, oh, well, sightseeing, I want to go to church. So I quickly looked through, I think, the internet. Thank you, Dr. Google. And I Googled and I said, church near me. And then it showed me some Anglican church that was about 5 minutes drive. So I thought, oh, and they start the service at 8 o'clock. Quickly, I'll go for the service. Finish the service and then come back and we can all go sightseeing together. And, you know, I went to the service, and it was a very Anglican church. The guy had his collar up to his neck like that. And, you know, when they say, "Our Father who art in heaven," and everybody's chorusing, and I thought, "Oh, this is very interesting." And, you know, I thought, "Oh, this is very, very," I mean, this was very, very, if I may put it, structured. I mean, they were praying from a book, and they were praying the Lord's Prayer and the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. You know, everything was all set. And towards the end of the service, then they now were going to share communion like we do here. And then they started singing, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." I'm like, "Yeah, I know that song." But you see, that was me just having that attitude of every Sunday I must go to a different church. And just as in, sorry, not different church in this city. Sorry, don't get me wrong. If I'm away on holidays, I should go to a church. And I did, and I saw a different, and I thought to myself, wow, this is an Anglican church. They were as Anglican can be. But they were also led by the Spirit. They were singing songs that we sing here as well. And you could see they had young, they had old, they had different generations in that church service. Why am I saying this? Even when you're on holiday, if you go to Bali, look for a church. If you go to Hawaii, look for a church. Form good habits, because you don't know what God is going to open up to you to see or witness when you go to those places. Amen. So in closing, if there's anybody here with habits that you think you should break and that you should not be involved in, after the service, come and see Pastor Philip, Pastor Irene. Let them pray with you. You know, if there's some things that the Lord has told you to do, He's told you, start doing this thing and do it consistently. I am one of those people. I just pray the Spirit of God would empower you to do so too, to start forming good habits. You know, there's some things that take some of my time as well, and I tell myself, "Oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I should just, you know, don't waste time. Just focus. Let your time be calculated. Let your time be intentional about what you're doing through the course of the day." You know, I was telling my kids this week, I went for a time management course, and because I want, of course, to manage my time better. And one of the things they said, you should always start your day with a list. Write down everything you want to do. You know, on Monday evening, I told my kids, "I'm going to write a list for what I'm going to do on Tuesday." And I wrote 10 things on the list. And my son, he comes back from school on Tuesday. I asked me, "Oh, so how many things did you finish on your list?" I said, "Only 5. He looked at me like, "Huh? Only 5? Yeah, only 5. But I'm getting there. I'm trying to be as effective as possible, because in my line of work, I can plan 60 things. And I can guarantee at least another 10 will come from other sources, because that's the kind of business I run. It's a service industry. And when they have problems, I have to help to solve those problems. So juggling all that is hard. But in doing that, just take away this, that ask God to help you to form good habits. Ask God to tell you what kind of habits you can even start forming now. It could be as simple as getting into a habit of calling your mom every week, if your mom doesn't live here, or even if she lives here in Perth. Or visiting your sister, or whatever it is, whatever habit that God has been nudging you to do, but you just don't want to listen. Try and do that, please. Just try and get into that frame of mind where you say, "Lord, I want to form good habits, and Lord, those habits that I should not be involved in, please help me break them. Just help me stop doing them." And do them consistently to the praise and glory of His name. And as we read about Daniel, he was so successful. He was the best in that, out of all the governors, he was the best, because God was with him, because God had empowered him to prosper. And we know why, because it was his habit to always spend time in prayer before his God. Amen? And in closing, I just want to pray, and if Pastor Philip just wants to take over the service from now, and the musicians, please, that the Lord would help us, myself inclusive, start forming, to start thinking, to start planning good habits. To say, and you write it down as one of your goals every day, to spend time in the Word of God, or to spend time in prayer, or to spend time practicing your instrument, or whatever it is that the Lord tells you. For some students, it might be just spending time revising what you learned the day before in school. That could be all that the Lord, you know, you form good habits, you start making that part of you as your custom, and that the Lord will help us. And I just want to pray now. Father God, I just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, even as you help us to form good habits. So that, like Daniel, people will say, as was his custom or as was her custom, that we prayed, we worshipped, we gathered together with other believers, we did what you called us to do. Lord, even as we know, even a disciple is someone who follows the ways and teachings of the Lord Jesus. But to become that disciple, you have to do it consistently. There has to be a habit formed of following the ways and the teachings. And I just pray that, Lord, all of us will not just be Sunday Christians, but will be disciples of the Most High God. Even as that's the commission that you've given us here in this church, to make God-loving, Christ-like, Spirit-empowered disciples. Lord, we will be Spirit-empowered if we yield ourselves daily to the Holy Spirit. We'll be God-loving if we yield ourselves daily to saying, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we will be Christ-like if we yield ourselves every day to knowing who you are, to knowing who you have always been to us and who you will be to us, oh God. And I just pray that, Lord, by your Spirit, you would empower us to do this, oh God, to form fantastic habits. Habits that we would learn ourselves and we would teach to our kids, who would in turn teach to their kids, who would in turn teach to their kids as well. Even as your word says that you should teach a child in the way that he should grow. And when he grows older, he will not depart from it. It's our heart's desire, God, to form good habits and to see those habits bring much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just pray that, Lord, you help us, oh God, from the youngest to the oldest. Help us to form good habits. Help us to do things the way you want them to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.